All right, now today's last interview is with Aaron Day. Aaron Day, who's got these really interesting projects going on. He's an advocate of privacy crypto. He's an advocate of the larger blockchain size for Bitcoin. He knows Roger Ver. I think Roger Ver taught him a lot of what he knows about crypto. And Aaron Day, we've had him as a guest twice on my show, Decentralized TV, with my co-host, Todd Pittner, who's also an advocate for privacy coins. So Aaron Day has some really interesting things to offer here, also about Roger Ver and the topic of human freedom and why we need decentralized finance in order to finally be free as a species, to get away from the centralized control, the central banks, the government-run currency, which never made any sense, actually, especially not now after the invention of blockchain and consensus mechanisms, proof of work, proof of stake, etc. Cryptography for decentralized finance. So Aaron Day, one of the smartest guys that I've ever met doing what I do here. You'll learn a tremendous amount from Aaron. So enjoy this interview, and then we'll be back on the other side. Now, speaking of freedom, our guest here, Aaron Day, is a strong advocate of freedom. He's an advocate also of privacy coins, which is something I'm a fan of as well, because I don't want everybody to know where I've sent coins or where I receive them or whatever. It's not their business, right? Privacy is a basic human right. Aaron Day joins us. Welcome, Mr. Day, to the program. It's an honor to have you on, sir.
Thank you for having me. Good to see you again.
It's good to see you, Aaron. I really want to thank you for joining us today. You've been a guest on my show, Decentralized TV, I think twice now. And you probably just saw our interview with Tracy, with Roger sitting there. What's your reaction to the prosecution of Roger Ver?
I mean, my reaction is that it's very clearly politically motivated. I mean, I've been following it very closely. My primary issue is trying to warn people about the threats of CBDCs and to explore alternative currencies. And I think that Roger's being targeted specifically because he's probably the most effective advocate on the planet for using alternative currencies as a way to not get stuck with central bank digital currency tyranny.
Now, Aaron, how critical is it for America's position as a crypto leader for people like Roger to be embraced rather than prosecuted?
Well, I mean, it's absolutely critical. I mean, cryptocurrencies are obviously here to stay, and fiat currencies all over the world are collapsing. And in fact, state-issued currencies have a 0% success rate. Most government-backed currencies fail after only 27 years. And so we're now seeing this whole geopolitical battle between the United States and BRICS and everything else. And so cryptocurrencies really are the future and the way out.
Okay, so give our audience a little bit of background of what brought you to this point and what it is you do exactly with your foundation.
Sure. So, I'm a serial entrepreneur, and my second company was actually destroyed inadvertently by the federal government, by Dodd-Frank, Obamacare, and Eric Holder. And I won't go into all the details on that, but that turned me into a full-time liberty activist. And so I moved to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project. That's where I learned about cryptocurrency. I actually learned about Bitcoin from Roger at a Free State Project event in 2012. I spent a lot of time on political activism. My wife and I helped get candidates elected at the state level and try to go the political route, and then kind of threw up my hands at that around 2018 and stopped using a bank account personally, and started urging others to opt out of using fiat currency. Then COVID hit, and all of a sudden I noticed that my friends were being targeted by the federal government. Ian Freeman, who I learned about the Free State Project from, is now in federal prison for 8 years for selling Bitcoin without filling out the appropriate paperwork, which was clearly a manufactured case. Jeremy Kaufman started a company called Library, which is a decentralized version of YouTube. He was targeted by the SEC, and they destroyed his business after 5 years. So I wanted to look at, well, what is the cause of this? Why is it specifically that people at the intersection of liberty and crypto are being targeted and destroyed by the federal government. And what I found was that, and particularly under Biden, in his executive order 14067, it is currently government policy for the United States to both explore a central bank digital currency, as well as to take a whole of government approach to regulating decentralized cryptocurrency. And that's exactly what they've been doing. It's the SEC, the Treasury, the FBI, the IRS. Every branch of the federal government has been mobilized to go after people in the crypto space. And so this is why people like Roger and others have been targeted. Many others have been thrown in prison. As Mark Andreessen eloquently explained on Joe Rogan a week or so ago, people are being debanked all over the place, with a particular emphasis on anybody in the cryptocurrency space. And so this crackdown is real, but so is the emergence of CBDCs. We went from a situation where in 2020, there were 35 countries just researching CBDCs, and really only China was experimenting with it. Fast forward 4 years, today, 134 countries representing 98% of the global GDP are exploring CBDCs, and over half of those are actually beyond the research phase. 11 countries have already rolled out a CBDC, and there are more CBDC accounts globally than decentralized cryptocurrency accounts. And so the Wow. whole process of using the state and throwing people in prison and targeting liberty crypto activists is to close off competitions so that when they roll out the CBDC, people have no choice.
Well, it's very clear, Aaron. And by the way, please look right at the camera as you're speaking with us, and give us your website for your foundation too, please. What is that?
My website is daylightfreedom.org.
Okay, daylightfreedom.org. Let me ask your reaction to this news headline here. Following Kuwait, Vietnam to debank people who do not get their biometrics scanned for a digital ID app. So, you know, there it is. Vietnam, a communist country, and the communists love CBDCs, don't they?
Well, the communists love CBDCs, but actually it's not limited to just communist countries. The United States is actually fairly advanced in the development of our own CBDC, which is something that we've been working on since 2019. In fact, when I started researching this, you know, I saw all this, you know, information about countries rapidly developing CBDCs. But when I explored how our monetary system works today, I realized we really already have effectively a CBDC. When you talk to people about what they're concerned about with central bank digital currencies, they're concerned about having their financial transactions monitored. They're concerned about being censored and debanked, and they're concerned about money being programmable. All three of those things are true with our system today. 92% of our system is digital. There's only 8% cash. The way money is created is the federal government goes to the Federal Reserve and issues an IOU, and then the Federal Reserve creates the money out of thin air in a database. I mean, that is very much by definition a central bank digital currency.
Yes.
Our system is already programmable, so anybody that has a health savings account or a flexible spending account, this is essentially a relationship with a bank where you can only buy specific health-related goods and services from specific retailers at specific times. MasterCard actually did a pilot program with the United Nations from 2019 to 2022, where people's carbon would be tracked, and if they use too much carbon, their credit card shut off. So this all uses the existing system. There is no major technology upgrade that needs to happen. So we already have these elements of a CBDC today, right, but it can get much worse.
Well, let me ask you about the Trump administration and where this needs to go, because I think you and I probably have a very similar conclusion on this. Personally, I don't want to play the FOMO speculation game with Bitcoin or any coin. I want a relatively stable coin that doesn't have a lot of price risk, but that is widely usable in everyday transactions. I want to be able to go to the grocery store and pay with a privacy coin. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to go to a farmer's market and purchase with a privacy coin that the government doesn't even know about. Or maybe it's Bitcoin with a privacy layer or something. But I hear a lot of people, especially those who are kind of newbies and don't really understand the block size wars, they just want Bitcoin to go up and up and up in price forever, but it's centrally controlled, it's an ETF, you don't have self-custody. Like, that's not what this is about, right? We need something usable. Do you agree with me on that point?
Well, I agree with you on that point completely. And when I first heard Roger talk about Bitcoin in 2012, this was the original vision. And when I started using Bitcoin, that was the use case. I actually would use it in New Hampshire. There were many restaurants and retail stores that would actually accept Bitcoin directly. And by 2017, major retailers like Microsoft and Overstock and Expedia were accepting Bitcoin directly. So this was the original vision. But without going into all the details about any block size war, clearly Bitcoin has morphed into digital gold. And so whether people like the idea that it's digital gold or not really is immaterial. We still need peer-to-peer digital cash. So if you want Bitcoin as digital gold, that's great. There are some issues with that, but we still need to have the ability to do day-to-day commerce outside of the control system of the federal government and outside of the control system of the central banks. And privacy coins offer the opportunity to do just that.
Well, and I'm thinking, I mean, even here at InfoWars, you know, the sponsor of the show today, the AlexJonesStore.com. Now, if I were Alex Jones, I would be thinking, hey, I want that store to be able to accept payment in crypto, especially privacy crypto, because that does two things for me as a merchant. Number one, then my e-commerce provider can't cut me off because of viewpoint discrimination. Secondly, nobody can surveil the list of customers or trace who is buying products from my store, right? Because if I'm Alex Jones, I want to also protect the privacy of the customers that are purchasing from me. So this is something that's been needed, I think, for a very long time. And I got to say, I saw you put out something, a little hint on Twitter the other day that you're thinking about some kind of project. I don't know, a teaser. I see you have a logo on your screen there. Karma, I think, is how you pronounce it. I just want to say to the audience, I'm not endorsing this project at this point. I don't really know anything about it, but you want to give us a little teaser of what you're working on? I think it's relevant.
Sure. So, you know, my wife and I have been doing these 4-hour workshops all over the country, and we've been showing people how to use alternative currencies, how to use cryptocurrency, gold and silver for day-to-day transactions. And one of the things that I found talking to merchants is they are concerned about cryptocurrency. They know the dollar is losing value. In fact, the dollar's lost somewhere between 25 and 40% of its purchasing power just since 2020. So everybody knows this. Small businesses know this. The problem is cryptocurrency prices are too volatile. And, you know, merchants don't know how they're going to be able to spend those on a day-to-day basis. And so one idea that I'm looking to roll out next year is the idea of a gold-backed privacy stablecoin. So what that means is we're combining all of the elements that people love about gold in terms of, you know, its stable price and use as money for 5,000 years, but with the best aspects of cryptocurrency. So the ability to have private transactions, the ability to have low transaction fees, and the ability for the merchant to, or the consumer for that matter, to be able to redeem these tokens for physical gold. So, you know, as the dollar was at one point until France came to the Nixon and said, hey, we'd like to redeem these gold.
We'd like to
load up our ships. And our Treasury Secretary said, well, that's your problem. And then we abandoned the gold standard. The idea is, what if we had a gold-backed currency that was separate from government with vaults across the world in different countries where people could actually redeem these tokens for physical gold?
Well, I love the idea. I think the Federal Reserve will hate the idea, obviously, because they want centralized control. But, you know, it's interesting to me that these currency wars, I mean, think about BRICS, right? So BRICS is rumored to be 40% backed by physical gold and the other 60% a basket of currencies of participating nations where they do have a distributed but permissioned blockchain. So not everybody can just, you know, chime in with proof of work overrides, but it's still distributed among the countries to do an international settlement token system called the unit, I believe, that is backed 40% by gold. So what you're saying here with your idea is actually kind of similar to what BRICS is talking about. Like how does China and Russia, if they trade with each other, how do they establish trust? given that historically China and Russia do not trust each other. And I think they established trust through this consensus system backed by vaulted gold. Does that sound right?
I mean, that's one way to do it. Here's the problem that I have, and this is why I think that we need a decentralized solution separate from state. It's not as though governments haven't had currencies that are backed by precious metals in the past. This has happened time and time again. Martin Armstrong has done a lot of analysis where he would actually collect coins and actually show and document the debasement of the coins. By the end of the Roman Empire, the silver denarius only had 0.05% silver in it. And so the thing is, you know, BRICS or whoever can say, is there really gold in the vault, first of all? Which that seems to be an issue. Do we even have gold in Fort Knox currently? I mean, we seem to not be passing audits even to this day fully with respect to the United States' own gold supply. But then it's also possible to issue tokens that are disconnected from the gold supply itself. So in other words, we could just have digital IOUs backed by theoretical gold. And so this is the issue that I have. The issue that I have is in studying currency, the problem doesn't seem to be whether it's silver or gold or whether it's fiat currency where it's just printed out of thin air backed by IOUs. The common source of the problem with money is state issuance of the money and the fact that the issuance of the money is tied to government spending. That literally has never worked as a model.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's why Trump needs to understand that this is not just about pumping up the price of Bitcoin. That's not the utility that America needs. We need a decentralized financial system in order to succeed economically as a nation. By the way, I hope you don't mind my comedy here, but the chroma glow around your head looks like the spirit of Obi-Wan Kenobi in The Empire Strikes Back. So thank you for bringing that in. It's great. That's a positive image. You're like Obi-Wan Kenobi here today. But you're the only one.
I wasn't shooting for it, but you know, if it works, it works.
It works. Hey, well, we had Bitcoin Jesus earlier, and now we have Obi-Wan Kenobi of crypto. So thank you for joining us with all of that. Aaron, I completely agree with what you're saying, but I fear that even with Trump coming into the administration, there's going to be so much power and control demanded by the central banks, the Federal Reserve, the US Treasury. Nobody wants to give up power, and they can weaponize their system. They can weaponize prosecution like they've done against Roger Ver. How on earth do you perceive that the American people could decentralize finance and effectively defeat the con of the Fed that G. Edward Griffin has warned us about for decades, and Ron Paul for that matter?
Well, so I mean, I always say vote with your feet and ditch the dollar. This has actually been my theme for a couple of years now. I mean, I've been living outside of the banking system since 2019. So it is possible. It just requires people to be willing to stand up and try alternatives. And you know, the crypto that I'm talking about, you know, this Karma privacy coin is built using a blockchain called Zano, Z-A-N-O, which is an incredible technology that has really been 10 years in the making with proven cryptography behind it. And so, you know, the way to be successful at this is to out-innovate. And we know what we're facing with these central banks. The whole point of what's going on with CBDCs is a movement towards a single global digital currency and a complete surveillance state where inevitably all of our transactions are monitored and our behavior is tied to a social credit score, and whether or not we have access to money relates to whether or not we comply with the government mandates. And so the way you defeat surveillance is with privacy, which is why I think projects like Zeno, Monero, and you know, the stablecoin that I'm working on are ways out, legitimate ways out, where people can opt out of the system.
Well, I'm a big fan of Monero. Just to be clear, if I have a choice, I always prefer to use Monero over Bitcoin for real world transactions because I don't want to leave a trail of what I did with that money. Like recently, I donated crypto to the congressional campaign of Dennis Kucinich, by the way. Former Democrat, ran as an independent. He has an anti-war stance, right? And, you know, we complied with FEC rules. I filled out my name and everything, you know, as required. And I donated the maximum allowable under law, which I think was $3,300 worth of crypto. But I would rather use crypto for that kind of thing than the banking system. The banking system can always say no. Why should I have to go ask for permission from my bank? Or if I'm wiring money to buy gold, I don't want my bank asking me questions like, what's it for? What's it for? Oh, I'll tell you what it's for. It's for none of your damn business is what it's for. It's my money, send out the wire, right? But with crypto, we don't have that problem, do we?
We don't have that problem, but also we used to have an assumption of privacy by default, even with our current banking system and with the dollar, and that has disappeared. There are now 13 different federal programs that are involved in tracking our financial behavior. The NSA is doing bulk data collection. The IRS is now using AI, working with banks to analyze all of our transactions. Through the Patriot Act and the Bank Secrecy Act, they can come in and seize your bank account and then issue something called a national security letter where you can't talk to anybody about it, including your own lawyer. So this isn't a future CBDC. This is the current state of surveillance of our current system. So the Fourth Amendment is completely out, has been thrown out the window. And so we just need to take our privacy back and reassert privacy as a fundamental right.
Well, it seems to me like the Roger Ver case is really the litmus test for the Trump administration. If they free Roger Ver, that's sort of an indicator that Trump is going to be pro-crypto and support innovation for the whole crypto space, right? If Roger Ver gets prosecuted, then it seems like that's a sign to all of us that they're going to come after us next. I mean, this is a big deal.
Well, it is a big deal, but you know, I live in New Hampshire, and so I was here when Trump came out against CBDCs. And so Trump has made a statement that he is against CBDCs. And so I think it's really important for Trump to understand that it's Biden's executive order, which is probably why they accelerated and decided to ultimately go after Roger at the last minute, because Roger is a threat to CBDCs. So if anything, Trump should be talking to Roger, because if Trump wants to fulfill his campaign promise to stop CBDCs, there is no one on the planet that knows more about this topic than Roger Ver.
Well, and if Trump does decide to either pardon him or tell the DOJ to just drop the prosecution, drop the charges, it's ridiculous. That would generate so much goodwill, even, you know, across independent media, many of us whom have been critical of Trump's position on vaccines, for example, but the goodwill that would engender would be tremendous. Aaron Day, we're out of time. Give us your website one more time, please.
Daylightfreedom.org.
Okay, daylightfreedom.org. And Aaron, keep us posted. Thank you so much for all that you do. I've enjoyed getting to know you, and I really appreciate your philosophy. Godspeed. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right.
All right. We've got a special holiday sale event happening at healthrangerstore.com beginning December 19th through December 26th. And we've got a lot of specials there, but a really cool bonus we have only available for those who purchase $149 or more. We have our new Silver Fresh fluoride free toothpaste, which has been, of course, out of stock, and we had to reformulate it. And go ahead and show it's on my desk here. This is only available as a bonus item with purchases. You cannot buy this separately. This toothpaste is in very short supply. We're now making it in America. And it's made with Texas rainwater. It's made with a lot of other really natural ingredients, including essential oils like cinnamon. But check out the ingredients on our website, healthrangerstore.com. This sale event begins December 19th through December 26th. Numerous items that are on sale. And actually, the special URL is healthrangerstore.com/Christmas. Got it? healthrangerstore.com/Christmas. We'll get you right to the sale page of all the items that we have on sale, in stock, and available now. And importantly, your support of Health Ranger Store also helps support this platform and all the content that we are able to bring you: freedom of speech, truth about natural health and medicine, decentralized technology to empower your life, all kinds of issues. And, you know, a worldview that is pro-human, pro-liberty, pro-freedom, and looking forward to, you know, structuring and building a human civilization that is pro-human and helps free us from globalist tyranny. So our Silver Fresh toothpaste, it's fluoride-free, obviously, because we don't want neurotoxins in the toothpaste. And the ingredients include colloidal silver water that's made from Texas rainwater, xylitol, which has its own amazing properties, Let's see, baking soda. I'm not mentioning every ingredient, but the key ones: menthol crystals, organic stevia extract powder to give it a little bit of a sweet taste. But stevia also has its own antibacterial properties as well. Organic peppermint essential oil, anise oil, and organic cinnamon bark essential oil. So the flavor, the taste, the texture, it's really fantastic. We don't use any SLS. We don't use any fluoride. We don't use any artificial colors. We don't use any garbage ingredients, no filler, nothing. This is real effective, healthy toothpaste that also helps support gum health, oral health. Try this. You will never go back to a regular store-bought toothpaste ever again. And this is our new formulation. We make it ourselves. And again, available only now for the first time as a bonus item if you purchase $149 or more during this Christmas sale event at healthrangerstore.com/Christmas. And thank you for all your support. Take care.